On the cover, a white background is covered in candy hearts. The candy hearts have inscriptions like BFF and Crush It and Cutie Pie. In the center, a giant candy heart is cracked down the middle. Wonderworld Comics is proud to present The Heartbreakers, Volume 3, Semi-Sweet Dreams, Issue 1, A Gloom Full of Sugar. Steve and Ryan, kind of side-by-side panels of both of them. It is a Saturday morning, and you are at home. Steve, your mom is making you go to the Career Expo that is being held today, and it's not exactly your idea of a good time for a Saturday, but your mom is pretty adamant that you go, and you are currently on the phone with Ryan trying to convince them to go with you, so
good
you're
luck.
At home. Ryan, where are you at in your house right now?
Ryan is on the couch with her feet over the arm, like sprawled out, like basically hanging upside down on the couch.
Steve, where are you at?
We get a panel of like through the window of his upstairs bedroom where we can see him pacing and looking very anxious as he's talking, saying, "Come on, man. It's like real important, you know, like, it's like our futures are at stake, you know, like decisions we make today could, you know, like impact our whole lives."
You hear a thud and then Ryan picks back up the phone and is like, "Oh, sorry, dude, that just put me to sleep. What were you saying?" I feel like, do you guys have like, Saturday morning cartoons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what Ryan's watching.
And Steve's just like, "Look, my mom's been just hounding me with this and dropping some very not so subtle hints about, you know, how I need to think about my future and what I want to do. You know, look, just please come with me. Don't make me go alone, man."
"But you already know what you want to do. You're going to be a hero."
"I mean, yeah, but that's not like a job and mom doesn't want to hear, oh, you know, I'll be fine, mom. I'll just go run around and beat up criminals, you know, and doesn't pay money, I guess."
"Surely you could just, like, pick anything, though, and just tell your mom, like, oh, I'm gonna do this."
"Yeah, okay. Well, then, come help me pick anything. Look, it might even be fun. There will be people there. There will probably even be girls."
"How many?"
"Like, statistically, half."
"Yeah, that's true."
As you're having this conversation, you, Ryan, see Uncle Patrick kind of, he's been in the kitchen and he kind of comes in and is like leaning against the door frame to the living room and is definitely like listening to your conversation.
I poke my tongue out at him.
He is not fazed. He kind of looks like he's waiting for you to be done talking to Steve.
"Steve, I gotta go, but I'll think it through. I'll run the number. And then if I decide that half sounds like good, I will meet there."
"Okay, please actually think about it and don't just forget. Bye." He tries to get in before you hang up.
Uncle Patrick, you can tell, has kind of been listening and he probably knows the answer to this already, but he says, "Oh, what were you and Steve talking about?"
He wants me to go to this lame, like, career fair thing.
"Well, I think he's right. I think you should go."
"Do you also think I should go because there's like half of the people will be girls? Is that why you think I should go?"
"I think there are a lot of places you could meet girls, Ryan."
"So I shouldn't go to this career expo. Got it."
Patrick kind of rolls his eyes and says, "Ryan, your report card came this week."
"Uh-huh."
"It's not great."
"Yeah, but, like, school doesn't really matter, right? So it's, like, whatever."
Uncle Patrick kind of runs his hands through his hair and comes into the living room and sits down on the couch next to you and says, "Look, kid, I don't care if you get straight A's. I don't care if you're acing every subject, but it kind of concerns me that you're not doing well in any of your classes."
"Yeah, but they're all boring. And, like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like there's any point, you know, like, doing any of them because they're not gonna, like, I don't know, give me anything I want to do, so."
"Well, do you know what you want to do?"
"No."
"Well, then maybe it's best not to close too many doors too soon, right?"
"Maybe."
And he kind of watches you for a second and says, "I don't want to be too hard on you. I'm not about that hustle culture or, you know, working your life away or anything, but it's hard being an adult, and I don't want you to close too many doors too soon. And I want you to do something with your life that you enjoy. And it's okay if you don't know what that is yet, but I at least want you to think about what that might be. Steve's right. Being a hero doesn't pay the bills.
Fine. I'll go to the stupid careers fair.
He smiles and says, it's one afternoon. Just want you to see if you can find one thing that sounds like it might be interesting to you. And there will probably be girls there.
Okay, but if I don't find anything that interests me, like, you can't be mad at me.
I'm just asking that you try. If you promise me that you will actually try, then I won't be mad.
Okay, I promise I will actually try.
And he kind of ruffles. Rain has, like, pretty short hair right now, right? Like, buzz cut.
Yeah. Yeah, buzz cut.
Kind of ruffles your, or like rubs his hand against your fuzzy head.
Yeah. She like ducked out of the way, but she actually really enjoys it when he does it.
Yeah, he knows. Cool. Is there anything else you want to say or do with Patrick before we flip back to Steve?
But as far as Steve knows, I'm going for the girls, okay?
He kind of laughs and says, yeah, I'd never ruin your street cred with Steve.
Harsh, but fair.
I feel like that was way more of a dig at Ryan than Steve.
Ryan mocks insecure. No.
I'm going to have Steve roll for obligations. Just yay. See how that roll goes.
Steve's favorite part of the evening.
Legit all Michael's right. Favorite part of the evening, though.
Woo! Okay. 3 + 6 + 1 mundane is a full 10.
A high roll is good on this one, right? Yes. Everything. Okay.
On a hit, things are going well, and you have an opportunity or advantage thanks to one of your obligations.
I will ponder what sort of advantage you might have.
Yeah. We'll just keep that in the back pocket.
Yeah. I was going to kind of keep whatever you rolled in the back pocket. I don't know that there would have been.
No, that's a good place for the obligations. You never know when they might pop up.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you'd missed it, it could have bitten you, like, anywhere in the arc, so.
Literally.
Someone might get bit by something this arc, who can say? Okay, so that, I think, makes this pretty straightforward then. Your mom is dropping you off at the Career Expo, and she's really happy that you're going, that you are going and seem, you know, like you're invested in looking around and maybe trying to find some career options that you're interested in. And so, yeah, she's just kind of happy that you're going and has like a nice little drive over where you get to talk about whatever's going on in your life. And then she drops you right in front of the big conference center in New Olympus. So it's down on Paragon Island, right kind of on the corner of Lincoln Park. It's split into two buildings that are kind of kitty corner on to Lincoln Park. And they're connected above by a sky bridge that goes over the intersection between them, the street intersection. And this career expo is huge. So this is something that, like, pretty much every teen in the city is invited to. There are, like, thousands of people here. There are tons of different companies with booths that talk about career opportunities and what it's like working for them. There is a whole lot going on here. So when you get here, like, where do you kind of go first thing? Or what do you do once you're getting out of the car?
Look around for Ryan.
You beat Ryan there.
Damn it. That's the worst.
Well, you did have a head start since you knew you were already going, and I don't want to assume I know what Ryan was wearing on while they were chilling on the couch watching cartoons, but I think it maybe wasn't something that Patrick wanted them to wear to the career fair. He thought it might not be a booty shorts sort of event.
What? I can't wear my booty shorts? I'm not going. Absolutely not.
Uh-oh.
I don't even own jeans, Patrick.
He hands you a skirt from your closet.
Gross.
He also offers you a pair of slacks. Like hot slacks. You'd look really good.
Way worse.
Well, he will keep handing you clothes until you... Well, we'll give Ryan and Patrick some time to figure out what Ryan is wearing. Steve, where do you go since Ryan isn't here yet?
So, yeah, Steve's in, like, his little, like, blue and white striped collared shirt. And just kind of standing in the middle awkwardly looking around. Just kind of observing who is there, seeing if anything looks interesting or, yeah, if he might know anyone else.
He might know someone else. I think as you're standing there looking around, just trying to, like, orient yourself, figure out what's going on, because this is kind of an overwhelming event. I think you see your friend Lauren, who kind of catches your eye and waves at you.
Oh, that's almost worse, in a way.
Worse than what?
Steve stops panicking a little bit and kind of walks over. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going? I didn't expect to see you here.
She kind of smiles and like, well, I wouldn't miss it, you know? Do you have anything you're looking at?
Oh, man, I was going to ask you that. I don't know, maybe like computers or something. Thing, but I don't really like math.
She nods and says, well, it's not really computers, but the New Olympus Gazette does have a booth here, and I was going to go check it out if you wanted to come with me.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah, absolutely, let's do that.
You can follow her to where she's going, and I think while she's walking over there, she's kind of talking about her interest in journalism, which you kind of already know. You are on the school newspaper together, but it does seem like something she is like very deeply interested in.
She's going to ask, like, so do you have any like of your articles you're thinking about showing them?
She holds up a little folder and kind of says, I don't know if they'd actually ask to see something I wrote, but always be prepared, right?
Exactly. I mean, like, I think that expose you wrote on the football team funding was really well done. I think you should definitely show them that.
Well, it is in the folder. Thanks. Did you bring anything you wrote? Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I brought some of my pictures, he says, kind of fumbling with the manila envelope, or not envelope, like folder he has. And yeah, he's got a couple, you know, like, what are they? Little, yeah, picture-sized pictures. But yeah, like printed out physical copies of, yeah, some of his shots of like superheroes, and, he's got like a couple, he's got like his, one of the articles he wrote, interviewing The Vice and, a couple others. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I've got a couple, you know, a couple things here and there. We'll see if they like any of it.
So Lauren knows that, I mean, she maybe, because you're walking, isn't looking at the pictures you've brought right this minute, but she kind of knows your portfolio, and that you do a lot of, like, action shots of superheroes or just other pictures, that, like, what are the superhero pictures?
Usually just, like, the fact that I can get them, but yeah, they've been getting better, you know, like, the first couple ones were just, like, very blurry photos of people on rooftops and stuff, but now he's got, like, yeah, some pretty good action shots of, you know, like, The Vice and, like, a couple of, like, The Mighty Briar, kind of from a distance, but, like, looking really all bulked up with vines and looking strong, and a couple of this, like, really, like, kind of new hero, but who's, like, probably really good looking and has electricity powers, called the Electric Kid, stuff like that.
You know, she's listening to you talk, and she's gonna ask, is it scary, like, getting that close to the action? Like, some of those shots are pretty, like, you're right there.
You know, it's sometimes, but, you know, then I remember I'm just, you know, it's not just, I'm doing it for other people too, you know?
She kind of brushes her hair behind her ears and says, yeah, frontline journalism is so cool and so important. And it's kind of my dream to do that sort of thing, but I don't know if I'd ever be brave enough to get that close to the action.
Well, maybe you could come out with me one night and, you know, we can see what we can see. Steve has no idea what he's doing right now. He just saw an opportunity, and he saw a shot, and he took it.
He saw a shot and didn't have time to talk himself out of it, I think.
That's exactly what it is.
She kind of looks at you because I think she maybe wasn't expecting that either and says, yeah, that sounds like it could be kind of fun. You'll protect me, right?
Oh, yeah, obviously. And, like, yeah, you know, I've got, like, some lenses and stuff. You don't really have to get that close. But, you know, I've got a few contacts, you know, people I could maybe see about, you know, see what they're up to.
Yeah, she kind of nods, like, appreciatingly. Like, she's definitely interested in, like, I think she's kind of been curious, like, how is Steve getting all of these, like, interviews and whatever, these close-up shots. So I think she definitely looks interested. You are just, like, barely getting to the table, though, so I think she's going to, for the New Olympus Gazette, and I think she's going to kind of turn her focus to talking to the representative at the booth, and we are going to turn the page. Ryan, what did Patrick convince you to wear?
I want you to know that I typed in career fair outfit gay into Google. Nothing is good.
No.
It's horrific. It's horrible search results. I don't know if we have the same expectations of career fairs in Australia. What is the what are you supposed to wear?
I don't think they're actually very formal events. I think probably if you'd come in booty shorts, you would have looked a little out of place, but no one would have, like, told you to go home or anything. But Patrick does, partially just because he wants you to take it seriously and felt like you might take it more seriously if you were wearing at least, like, you know, jeans or, like, it can be pretty casual. Just, I think Patrick is hoping you'll, like, dress up a little bit and, like, maybe a nice shirt or some slacks or a skirt or a dress or, you know, something in that realm of attire. But I think he'd honestly be satisfied if you wore jeans.
Okay, well, I accidentally just made it canon that I don't own jeans. So I think Ryan is wearing, like, some, like, black, like, slacks.
Mm-hmm.
And her least offensive gay t-shirt. Not that any of them are actually that offensive, but just, like, her most subtle one. Like, I think it's just a, like, lavender shirt that says, like, Lavender Menace on it or something. But in, like, a really subtle kind of, like, the color of the writing is almost the same as the color of the shirt kind of thing. Yeah, but the slacks are fancy and the shirt is tucked in. Yeah, maybe they have, like, a nice coat or jacket. Like, not a blazer, but, like, I don't know, just, like, a nice, neat jacket.
Good look. I like it. So you arrive at the career fair and Steve, who begged you and begged you and begged you to come, is not answering his phone.
The fuck, dude? I mean, I'm just going to walk in and I'm pretty tall, so I'm probably just going to walk in and look around for him.
Yes, but regrettably, Steve is not tall. And this is like a very, very big venue with like thousands of people in it.
Is there like a security or like a reception or something? Someone who's running the event?
I think when you first walk in, there is like an information booth and some people to kind of hand out maps of the place and like a list, like they have a list of people who will have booths so that you can look up where all of the booths are.
Yeah, I'll go over to the information booth. Basically, I want to ask them if they can like make an announcement and ask Steve Fisher to come to the information booth.
The person at the reception booth asks you if someone is hurt.
No.
Is there some other
emergency? He's lost.
Is he a child?
Yes. What's your definition of child?
Like under the age of 5?
Oh, no. You think I'm old enough to have someone under the age of 5 with me? I guess it could be a sibling, but...
She kind of like shakes her head and is like, I'm sorry, I don't think we can make an announcement. Maybe you should try calling him.
I have. That's the problem. He's not answering his phone. I'm worried about him.
Why are you worried about him?
Because he's not answering his phone.
She kind of nods and says, well, reception can be a little spotty and it is pretty noisy in there. But I'm sorry, we can't make an announcement.
So what, I just have to go and like yell for him myself? Fine, I'll do that.
She kind of cringes, but she's not going to stop you from going.
Sick, I'll walk in and just start yelling Steve.
Yeah, so you are perhaps so distracted yelling for Steve that you, as you're kind of going around a corner, run right into someone.
Oh, shit. Man, I'm sorry.
This is a girl. They are, in fact, at this event, and they do comprise about 50% of this event, as Steve predicted.
Way better at math than me.
You, maybe as you have a second to kind of collect yourself, realize that this girl you have run into is someone you have seen before. You did catch a glimpse of her at the Pause for Pride event. And she still looks very good. She is wearing like a cute, like kind of vintagey blue and white polka dot dress and these like big cat eye glasses and just like this really cute, like curled hair. As you look at her more, you also notice that she is carrying this big binder that you have knocked out of her hands and its contents are just sprawled everywhere.
I will immediately bend down to pick up the contents of the binder.
There are a lot of them. Sorry. They are everywhere. She had some business cards with her that she dropped.
The I'm wearing my jacket, but like the brambles like snake out from where my like the from like the arm of the jacket, like the where my wrist is, and they sort of like start helping by like snaking across the floor and like pulling things closer.
I think she doesn't actually notice. She's also kind of busy trying to collect her things. So maybe if you pick up one of the cards, her business cards, you will notice that the name Rose Howard is on them.
Rose Howard. I'm just going to doodle that in my notebook.
As you should. Once she kind of gets, you know, not necessarily everything picked up, but at least so that it's kind of contained in one space so that people aren't like stepping on it anymore. She kind of looks up at you through her glasses and says, "Oh, hey, you're Steve's friend, aren't you?"
Usually. Have we met?
No, I mean, we both go to the same school. I know Steve from newspaper. He talks about you a lot.
I mean, that's nice of him. Rude of him to not talk about you a lot, though.
She kind of laughs, just like, well, yeah, I mean, newspaper's probably not that interesting. She nods at the career fair and she's like, "So, checking anything out?"
Yes.
Ryan's definitely checking something out.
Yes.
And Rose says, "Oh, cool. What are you interested in?"
Ryan's face is like blank for a second.
Don't say girls. Not- don't say girls. Don't say girls. Girl?
Yeah, she says, she's like, "Girl, I don't know yet. That's kind of why I'm here." Yeah.
Rose kind of finishes collecting her stuff and stands up straight again. She is quite a bit shorter than you because you are very tall. And she
says, what are you checking out?
Everything. I want to do so many things when I grow up, and I thought this was going to help narrow it down, but it's kind of just making me excited to try and do more things, you know?
I don't, but I would love to know. Maybe you can, like, show me some of the things you're interested in, because I haven't found anything yet.
She kind of nods towards her binder, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I've been to some super interesting booths. I'm like kind of interested in international humanitarian law, but sometimes I also think I'd like to like go get a PhD and be an English professor because that sounds cozy. I don't know. There's so many possibilities."
Yeah, so many. Yep.
And she looks at the floor of like the expo center and is like, "It's a little overwhelming, isn't it?"
Yeah, I guess everybody keeps telling me I need to find something that interests me, but then they keep putting me in places where nothing is interesting.
She kind of blinks like she doesn't quite... She's interested in everything, so she, I think, doesn't quite know what to do with that. And she kind of says, "Well, there's a whole lot of stuff here, and it's kind of a lot to dig through, but I feel like there's got to be something."
That's what people keep telling me.
Did you get a map when you were at the information center?
Yeah, probably not. I was there for Steve. Steve alone.
She is going to pull out... She fortunately is prepared and has two maps. So she'll pull one out of her binder after she kind of has to shuffle through because her papers aren't in order anymore. But she does find one of her extra maps. And she pulls a pen out of her purse and starts circling things. And she's like... "They don't really tell you this, but it's actually organized pretty well so that, like, similar things are sort of in the same areas." And she starts making some notes on, you know, like, here's kind of the really artsy section, and here's, like, the really sciencey section, and here's, you know, like, where a lot of the businesses are, and the tech stuff is over here. And she kind of makes some notes on your map, on her map that she's giving you, and hands it back to you, and says, "Well, maybe that'll help get you a start."
Yeah, thank you. I feel bad, because I just, like, ruined your binder's organization and then stole your map.
You didn't steal the map, I gave it to you, and I have another. And for the binder, I can reorganize it when I get home. I wanted to go through all the flyers again anyway.
Are you leaving? Are you done?
No, but if you do want to follow me, I am going to talk to one of the representatives from the university about a PhD program. I don't know if that's your sort of thing.
I don't know either. I guess I won't. until I go and try it.
And she says, well, you are welcome to come with. It's, you know, you can talk to anyone here. And she kind of starts walking away. And right as she does, someone taps you on the shoulder, Ryan.
Who is it?
You turn around and look at them, or?
I glance.
It is a man who is, he's pretty big. He's like about your size. This is surely not a reference that Ryan would get, but for the listeners at home, he looks like Fabio.
If he doesn't say anything, I will just walk away and keep following Rose.
He catches up to you and taps you on the shoulder again.
What? Oh, dude, don't tap me on the shoulder. I have lungs and I will scream.
Sorry, are you Rain?
No, sorry. Wrong person. Okay, bye.
He glances at his phone again and then runs and catches up to you. And he steps in front of you so that you kind of have to look at him a little bit more. And he holds his phone out in front of him so that you can see the screen and says, sorry, Ryan. And you can see on the screen of his phone is like your yearbook picture and your name that has been sent to this person from a contact named Victor.
Nope, that's not me. Sorry.
Do you start walking again?
Yeah.
He calls after you, Lilith's friend, right?
Okay, fine. I will pause.
Rose kind of glances back at you and she's like, hey, I'm kind of in a hurry. Maybe we can meet up if you have to talk to this guy.
Yeah, if I don't see you, this guy killed me.
She thinks you're joking. Sorry. And she laughs. Yeah. Before walking away. That was supposed to be a joke.
All right, what do you want?
So you are Lilith's friend. The Mighty Briar?
Maybe. I might be. I have heard the name Lilith before. Tell me what you want, and then I will tell you who I am.
He kind of waves his phone. He's like, well, that's who Victor said you were.
I just who is Victor?
It's not important. I just need to know if you can help her.
Who, Lilith?
Yeah, she's in a bit of trouble.
Okay, well, like, next time could you just lead with that instead of being creepy and being like, hey, I know your name and your secret identity. Like, of course I will help Lilith. What's wrong? What's happened?
So he takes a deep breath and is, like, reconsidering what he's going to say, because it does appear that maybe his order of presenting information has been incorrect in the past. And so he kind of collects his thoughts for a second and goes, someone is trying to get her. Someone is, well, their name is Sugar Spinner. She is a pretty powerful magical entity, and she makes things out of sugar, this unit, the name. She's trying to take Lilith's heart.
Her literal heart?
Kind of.
Where is Lilith?
And he is like, that's where it gets tricky. Sugar Spinner has created a semi-world.
Am I supposed to know what that means?
He grumbles like, if schools these days taught you anything.
See, that's your problem. That's, I don't pay attention at school, so they might.
Editor's note, they do not. He kind of, like, gives an exasperated sigh and is like, semi-world is a sort of magical dimension that's, like, half in our world, half, like, it's just kind of layered. Like, you know, if you, like, put a tablecloth on top of a table and then you put plates on top of the tablecloth, they're on the table, but actually they're on the tablecloth, you know? That's what it's like.
Okay, so she's on the tablecloth.
Yeah. And he pulls something out of his bag. It's a couple of, like, mint tins, and he hands them to you and says, these can get you onto the tablecloth. I'd go myself, but Sugar Spinner would see me coming from a mile away.
How do I get off the tablecloth once I get Lilith?
He kind of shrugs and like, no, it's easier getting back. You just come back.
What do you mean it's easier getting back? What do you mean?
You just do it.
You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like some Feywilds Wilds bullshit?
It's not like that.
It's not like that. Could you?
And he kind of nods towards the tins he's giving you. He's like, I don't know if any of your super friends are around here. You're the only one that Victor gave me a name for. You might want to.
Okay, but who is Victor? Why did Victor give you my name? Who is this Victor? How does he know me? Is he on the tablecloth?
No. If he was, why would he be on the tablecloth?
I don't know. Why wouldn't he be on the tablecloth?
It's very hard to get on the tablecloth. You gotta eat one of these. And
that doesn't sound that hard. You just eat one of these.
Well, these are very hard to come by.
How many did he give me?
Quite a few, actually.
Okay, I will raffle them and be like, so then why are you just handing them to me if they're that hard to come by and they're all this valuable? Ooh.
I told you, Sugar Spinner would see me coming a mile away, and I want someone to go get Lilith.
Okay, well, okay, on that we are agreed. But how do I know that this isn't like, you're actually Sugar Spinner, and if I eat this, I'm going to turn into a fucking lollipop, and then, like, you're going to kill me or something?
He just stares at you. and says, that's not how I would kill you.
Okay, how would you kill me?
Strategically.
Who are you?
He offers a hand to you to shake and says, Joe Johnson.
Oh, which Joe are you?
Joe Johnson.
Yeah, but like,
he's like, yes, my boyfriend's name is also Joe Johnson.
Yeah. So which one are you? Did you make teeth, man?
He stares at you again and says, you're going to grill me about this, or are you going to go help Lilith?
If you made teeth, man, I'm not shaking your hand. But if you didn't make teeth, man, I will shake your hand.
He pulls his hand back and says, come on, time is kind of of the essence here.
Okay, that's all I need to know. This guy made teeth, man. I'm out of here. Thank you for the mints, magic mints or whatever. I'm going to go assemble the team. Save Lilith the fuck away from this guy.
And he kind of shakes his head. Is like, I'm going to have to tell Victor I don't know about this one.
You tell Victor I don't know about him.
He kind of glances over his shoulder. He's like, nobody knows about Victor. That's how he likes it.
I feel like he's going to punish you for telling me about him.
No. I can handle him.
All right. Yeah, send a fucking teeth man at him or something. All right, I'm out of here. I'm going to fold my map up into my pocket because I want to keep that. That's very important to me.
Steve does conveniently choose now to respond to one of your texts.
Yeah, it just says, newspaper booth, section A12.
That sounds like maths. I guess I could look at my map and see if I can find that.
I think if you looked at your map, you would be able to find it, yes.
Sick. I'm gonna go there with a frowning face.
Steve, Ryan approaches you and they are frowning.
Oh, hey, you made it. Thanks for coming. What's going on?
I will loop my arm in Steve's and drag him away.
Oh, hey, Ryan, this is my friend Lauren. What are you doing? Dude!
I'm going...
Lauren kind of, like, waves at you as you go, but she's pretty busy talking to the recruiter.
I'm heading for, like, the bathrooms or something.
What are you doing with me? Ryan, where are we going? I was talking to Lauren. Lauren!
When we get to, like, you know, the alcove where the bathrooms are, she, like, stops and, like, spins and, like, looks at you and is like, wait, Lauren?
Yes!
Lauren?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Okay, well, that serves you right, because I just met a very cute girl who you apparently know and have never introduced me to, so this is what you get.
I know a lot of girls, Ryan.
And why don't you introduce me to them?
Who are you even talking about?
Rose.
Oh, from newspaper.
Yeah, she knew me. Apparently you talk about me all the time. Why haven't you talked about her? To me!
Oh, I don't know. Do I have to talk to you about every girl in every single one of my classes?
Yes!
Oh my god.
This is the basis of our friendship! What are you talking about? Of course!
Well, Ryan, I feel obligated to tell you that there are, in fact, girls in my U.S. history class.
Yeah, okay, whatever. We have bigger problems.
Also my physics class and pre-calc.
Do you have your suit?
No, it's just kind of like a collared shirt. I thought about rolling up the sleeves, but do you think that would be too unprofessional?
Suit, you little cat, you're freaking zappy boy.
Oh, what's going on? Why? What's going on? Wait, why did you grab me?
Yeah. Okay, we have to eat these mints and go onto the tablecloth and save Lilith.
All right, I'm going to need you to take that all the way back to the start.
Yep.
And run it by me again?
I was talking to Rose, being mad at you, but being very charming, because that's me, and it was going really well, and she gave me a map, and I was going to go and hang out with her, and then this guy came, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and now we have to eat these mints and go save Lilith.
Okay, see, I think you skipped some stuff again there.
Yeah. These mints will put us on the tablecloth, and that is where Lilith is.
What does this have to do with Lilith?
I'm pretty sure it was Joe Magic.
Oh, shit.
But he's not the problem this time. It's someone called Sugar something. And we need to eat these mints to put us on the tablecloth that she made. Because she made the tablecloth and she put Lilith on it and she's trying to take Lilith's heart. And then we eat these mints and then we get on the tablecloth.
What? Holy. Okay. Yep, I'm going to need a suit. A different suit than this.
Yeah, that's why I have your suit.
Okay. Maybe next time, lead with someone is trying to rip out Lilith's heart. You know, that's like maybe the most important bit of information.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said to Joe Magic.
Well, Ryan has gotten an existential crisis. Steve is going to shake his head and like duck into the men's room. Change into his super suit from his little like duffel bag that he keeps his manila folder in.
I like that his mom was like, yeah, Steve needs a whole duffel bag for his manila envelope with his portfolio.
Well, it's not like a duffel bag, it's more of like a kind of like a leather kind of, you know, professional looking thing.
Okay.
Ryan did not bring a bag, so Ryan is following you into the men's room and just taking off her clothes, revealing her supersuit underneath.
Nice.
And then asking to put her clothes in your bag.
Obviously. Steve, yeah, sighs, but this is not the first time this has happened, nor will it be the last.
Ryan does not like to bring bags places.
Alright, cool. So Steve finally pulls on his mask and is like, underneath his mask is just kind of like grinning ear to ear, because he's just like, yes! I don't have to go talk to weird people and try and get them to like me. I can just go punch stuff and be a superhero, and this is awesome.
I am going to need you to vouch for me with Patrick, though, that I did at least look at some careers.
Sure, yeah. I've got a whole list of them. You can take your pick.
Sick.
Sick.
I guess we got to eat these mints.
And then I also affirmed my heroic identity. And I'm going to switch my mundane with my masks label. So I have a +1 in freak instead of a -1.
All right. You might need that.
I feel like I may.
Well, are you eating the mints?
Yeah.
So we just like pop these in our mouth or what?
I guess so.
There are two tins of mints. So like if you want to give a tin to Steve so he has his own, might be advisable.
Yeah, sure. I only have one pocket.
Steve sighs. Yes. Vest pockets.
So are you eating the mints?
Yes. Okay, fine. Ryan does Steve well.
So we get a panel of you both popping a mint into your mouth. And then we have a panel that's you kind of like just standing in the bathroom. You still in the bathroom?
Mm.
Kind of the general shape of the bathroom, but it kind of looks like the walls are gingerbread now.
Tablecloth.
You gonna stay in the ginger bathroom?
I wanna punch one of the stalls and see if it breaks like gingerbread.
It does.
Okay, I think we found the sugar person, whatever they were called, that you, yeah. You said this was a tablecloth?
Yeah, apparently it's like so the world is like a table, and then this is like a tablecloth. So it's like on top of it. It's like the world, but on top with a tablecloth on it.
Sure.
Where are the plates on the tablecloth right now?
Okay. Yeah, that can almost kind of make sense. Sure. Okay. I've just, you know, never been in a different dimension before, so this is just kind of, okay. Cool. And Steve's gonna step forward and open up the bathroom door to the outside.
Yeah, so when you step out into what was the conference center, you realize that it is still kind of shaped like the conference center. So like if you look really closely, you can kind of see where some of the like boundaries of this space feel like maybe they were kind of where the walls and such were in the conference center. So you step out and there is like candy everywhere. It looks very like Candyland-esque. So there's like these kind of floating clouds of cotton candy, and there are the ground is kind of covered in this like green coconut frosting that sort of looks like grass, and there are these big lollipop trees and these like boulders that are made out of rock candy. There is sugar absolutely everywhere, and it actually looks like very pretty, and nothing is like immediately trying to kill you.
Yep, definitely not getting weird vibes here.
I should have asked how to find Lilith.
You didn't even ask.
I was too busy trying to understand like what this guy was trying to tell me. Like he was being really cryptic, by the way. Like he Yeah, I should have asked.
Okay. All right. That's yeah. See, that's all I needed you to say. Okay. It's all right. We'll get it figured out.
Will you admit that you should have told me about Rose?
I mean, she was dating someone until, like, a couple weeks ago.
Okay, well, you definitely should have told me about her, because now I feel like, that I was just, like, hitting on her. That's so rude of me.
I don't know. She's pretty chill. You're probably
yeah,
fine.
Obviously. That's why I like her.
Look, after we rescue Lilith, we can go talk to her again, and I'll say hi. And you can use it as a pretext to also say hi.
Okay.
Cool. All right. I'm going to take a look around. And Steve is going to just, like, jump up in the air as high as he can and kind of use a little bit of, like, his static thrusters to kind of slow his fall a little bit. Just kind of look around and see as far and as wide as he can see if there's anything of note going on.
That does sound like you are assessing the situation.
Yeah.
Can you give me that roll plus superior?
Ooh, I am guilty, though. So that's a miss. It's a 4 plus a 3, plus 1 superior minus 2 for guilty.
For a 6 total.
For a 6 total.
There is one team in the pool.
Do you want me to help you with that, or do you want to just... Because, like, Ryan could, like, throw you up.
Fastball special?
Yeah. Or, like, alternatively catch you when you fall.
Oh, that's a good idea, too. Yeah, if you want to.
I think that sounds fun. Not because I feel like we need to succeed at this assess the situation, but just because I think it would be fun if you jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
Underestimated or like overestimated how well your static thrusters could like save your fall and then like landed in Ryan's arms. I think that would be
yeah. I didn't really absorb a lot of electricity before we left, which is probably an oversight, but awesome. So Steve will kind of be like just trying to slow his fall, looking around like oh crap, and then just like whoop out the bottom of the panel, and then there's the next panel is him just like landing in a perfect like Princess Carrie in Ryan's arms.
Yeah.
Cool. So I gotta ask one question. What here is the biggest threat?
You know, I was really expecting a like what can I use to find Lilith, but
Same. Why did I help you ask that question?
Because, like, if I can find the biggest threat, that's probably where the Queen Sugar Lady is keeping Lilith. You know, I'm looking for, like, is there a scary-looking castle and a scary-looking candy mountain with, like, scary candy lightning, or...
Yeah, okay. I will make this work in a way that is narratively friendly and will move you in the direction I want you to go.
Now you're GMing.
So there's like, you know, this like very scenic little candy pasture of sorts. And right, so you were in the conference center and you can still see that this space is short, sort of shaped like the conference center, where the walls for the conference center would have been. There are these big, like, that's where some of the candy boulders are, like really big giant, like in the space look like these like big candy rock hills. If you remember correctly, or like, yeah, those are where the walls for the conference center were. So if you're looking in the direction that would have been like the big front doors of this building of the conference center, you can see that heading in that direction, like there, the scene is maybe a little bit off. So you start seeing things like these crack, some of the lollipop trees are a little bit cracked. And you see some movement in that direction. This is the first kind of movement you've seen. And some of these, not like the big rock candy, but some of the smaller pieces of rock candy seem to be kind of shuffling around and moving in the direction of the door, or where the door would be if you were still in the conference center.
Okay. I got eyes on some movement just over towards where the main door was. Looks like I didn't really see much else going on, so I'm guessing whatever is going on here, that's probably where they've got Lilith.
Ryan will put you down gently and then say, alrighty, let's go then, I guess.
So you're just walking that direction?
I assume so. I will follow my Steve.
Yeah, I guess we're just walking in that general direction.
As you start walking
out for danger, yeah.
Well, as you start walking that way, so you see these little, like, rock creatures. In my head, they kind of look like the mini taluses in the Breath of the Wild games, but they're made out of rock candy. They do, as they see you, some of them start, like, throwing, like, kind of fist-size pieces of rock candy at you. And if you, as you start getting, like, really close, I think they're, you know, pretty dodgeable at first, but more of them are noticing you, and some of them are starting to kind of run at you and swing their little rock. They have these, like, rock arms, sort of, that they kind of swing at you.
Okay, at first I thought this was kind of cute and possibly delicious, but now it's getting kind of painful.
Definitely creepy.
You do also, as you're getting closer to the door slash the bulk of these creatures, start noticing some shards of glass on the ground in front of you.
Steve's going to immediately pick one up.
It is a jagged shard of glass.
I think Lilith was here?
I mean, that doesn't... I mean, glass is glass, but, like, surely... Because it's like... I mean, we know that Lilith is somewhere in here on this tablecloth.
Steve looks at the glass, like, really closely... And then, like, very, very cautiously, like, tries to bite it.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to make you roll to assess the situation again.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's made of candy or if it's actual, like, glass.
I think that's within your abilities. It is actual glass.
Okay, cool. It's not sugar, so I think it definitely means Lilith was here. Otherwise, you know, it would just be, like... tastier.
One of the rock boys slams up against your leg as you're taste testing the glass.
That's just rude, man.
It starts running towards you like it's gonna ram into you again.
Steve's gonna go for the door.
They're not that fast. You can definitely kind of outrun them.
Yeah, Steve's gonna go try the door.
The door opens.
Not ominous.
Ryan, are you following Steve through the door?
Always.
Yeah, so you kind of roll this big, it's big, but it's not that heavy, like, Necco wafer type thing out of the way, and reveal the outside. And where the street and where Lincoln Park was, there is just white granulated sugar, just mounds of it. It's sort of like being in, like, the desert, but instead of sand, there's sugar. You can kind of see ahead of you, so that if you kind of remember the description of the conference center from before, there's like the sky bridge that was leading to the other building in the conference center, and you can definitely see, like, there are shards, like, it was glass and there are shards of it that kind of seem missing. Like, it seems like maybe the glass destruction went in that direction to the other conference center building.
Steve's gonna go take a running leap up and try and just, like, smash through the glass of the sky bridge and into up there.
Do you close the door behind you?
Ooh, probably not.
You're going to let the rock boys follow you?
I don't know.
You know, you didn't do it and you already jumped, so...
Yep. Steve didn't do it.
If Ryan has the foresight to close the door so that no more rock boys are chasing after you, let me know. But,
I mean, it's Ryan, so it's probably going to be a no.
Okay, so Steve is jumping up onto the sky bridge. You land on the sky bridge, and the thing is absolutely swarming in what appear to be sugar, like, hard candy sugar scorpions.
Oh.
Ryan, are you still on the ground? Are you following Steve?
I probably would follow Steve. I'd use my, like, my brambly-ness to make a little rope to climb up.
As you are climbing the rope, there is, like, a rumble in the sugar beneath you.
Oh, shit. Sugar worms.
You're ruining the dramatic reveal, Kaylee.
Oh, sorry. I can cut that.
No. You guessed it. You got that one. You hear this rumbling, and then out of the sugar, you see this giant gummy worm just emerge, and it opens its gummy mouth to kind of... It's trying to eat you.
I don't want to be eaten. Can I kick it away?
You can certainly roll to directly engage a threat, I believe. Is that roll?
Do you think that this would be charging into a fight without hedging my bets?
You're not really charging. You're reacting. I'm going to be mean GM and not let you roll it, but I am going to let us come together as a team. We add two team to the pool. Who is the leader?
Steve.
Yeah, probably Steve.
I do believe the leader has influence over every teammate.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do, in fact, have influence over teammate.
Steve, what is your purpose in this fight?
Defeat the delicious-looking monsters and find Lilith.
Ryan?
Yep.
So we're up to four team in the pool. Yes. Does any member mistrust the leader or the team.
No.
Even though Steve didn't tell Ryan about the girl, he's still the
same. Yeah, I don't trust him. I don't trust Steve, but I trust the electric kid.
Steve does have some self-confidence issues, but I think he does trust himself.
And is your team ill-prepared or off-balance?
For gummy sugar world? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think so, but I also don't think I'm going to argue with you. So, Steve, would you like to mark a condition to avoid removing that team from the pool?
We're going to need those conditions later, man.
Yeah.
When we start taking powerful blows, like...
Mm-hmm. Not if. When. Yeah, no. I will not.
So we are entering the fight with three team in the pool. Ryan, why don't you roll to directly engage a threat?
That's a 6 + 1 + 0, which is 7.
Okay.
I would like to resist or avoid their blows.
Yeah, that seems smart.
I would like to not be eaten.
So just to give you a scope of the size of this gummy worm, it is tall, so not long, but it is tall about a story high. It's a big boy.
It's large. That's how large its like mouth is.
Yeah, it's real big. You are successfully able to knock, like, this thing isn't really knocked over, but it's not really accustomed to being kicked, so it kind of like shrinks back just a minute, just more out of surprise than anything, but it's probably not going to take it real long to collect itself. But you have bought yourself a second. Steve, you are being surrounded by sugar scorpions.
Cool. That's a big... How big are these scorpions?
They're just regular scorpion size.
Okay, that's still,
Well, I guess scorpions come in many sizes. They're like, I don't know, like the size of your foot.
Yeah, that's still gonna be a nope for me. Steve is going to, I guess, just do... Hello, kitty. Meow.
Axe would like you to know that he does not approve of the scorpions.
Steve's gonna do just like a big like thunder shockwave thing around him to try and just like damage all of the scorpions at once and also kind of launch himself away from them.
Cool. Surely that will not throw Ryan off balance or anything. I'm gonna let you roll to unleash your powers though.
Well, Ryan's down on the ground, right?
No, Ryan is climbing a vine.
Oh, right. Okay. I forgot about that.
Nope. You forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
On this course.
Nope. This is how we roll. Ryan is borrowing the brain cell right now.
What? No, she's not.
Could you leave the brain cell in the Steve doesn't center? Have.
I think we put the brain cell in the duffel bag and left it in the bathroom. In the
So is that directly engage the threat?
Yep. No. I'm going to have you unleash your powers on this one. It sounds like you're trying to reshape your environment to me.
Yeah, no, this is fine. What could possibly go wrong? I'm not even hopeless. This is great. Oh, that's a 5. I guess I gained potential.
You sure do, buddy. I'm going to say that the force of this concussive blast doesn't necessarily break any of the sugar scorpions, but it does break the sky bridge. So you're falling now, and I'm going to ask you to take a powerful blow.
Awesome. Two conditions marked. Let's go. Keep these low rolls coming. Ooh! It's a 4 and a 5 + 2 for an 11. Ow!
Well, you get to choose.
I guess lose control of my powers in a terrible way?
Why would you pick that one?
I don't want to mark conditions!
Yeah, if he marks conditions, it would, like, make it hard for him to take a powerful blow in the future.
Yeah, what if I rolled high?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think part of you losing control of your powers is that you do, like, just absolutely shatter the sky bridge. You are kind of in a free fall now. I think you're actually pretty okay as you land on this bed of sugar. You have sugar scorpions just, like, landing all around you. You do also, like, Briar was climbing, and they are now also on the sugar. And I think that... I just feel like there needs to be, like, one little additional consequence here.
All the scorpions fell on Steve.
Yeah, that's fine. All the scorpions can fall on Steve.
And Ryan can also fall on Steve.
And Ryan.
Fall on Steve. Steve would definitely, like, yeah, try and shield Ryan from as much of the blow as possible. Because they didn't sign up. This isn't their fault. They shouldn't be punished.
Yeah, so I think that seems, like, adequate. failure to, on the powerful blow roll. So I think the series of events is Skybridge just shatters. Steve falls. Scorpions fall on Steve. Ryan falls on Steve. There's also a very large gummy worm looking to charge you again. That's the state of things. What do you do?
I would like to cocoon mode myself and Steve.
Okay. I'm going to call that defend roll.
Yeah. Yeah, I basically just want to, like, make a nice little bubble of brambles around us so that even if the gummy worm eats us, we are safe. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. Don't say so that. That's
3 + 1 = 4 + 3 = 7.
There we go. That's good.
Are you insecure?
Nah, I don't have any conditions.
Okay, so that's a 7. When you defend someone or something from an immediate threat, on a 7 to 9, you get to choose one and it costs you. So you can expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
I think I'll expose myself to danger. So I think maybe I'll, like, cocoon Steve, but not myself. And then I would like to add a team to the pool, please.
Okay, so we're up to 4 team.
Please and thank you.
Okay. You are making a cocoon for Steve. Mm-hmm. And I think that the worm kind of tries to wrap, like, it's trying to eat you, but as it's, like, closing its wormy mouth around the brambles, like, one of the brambles kind of pricks it, and it pulls back. So it's kind of confused again. It is not used to its food fighting back so much, but you are still exposed to the scorpion. So I think, yeah, all the scorpions that were on Steve are now coming towards you if you sting you. And to see how you weather the stinging sugar scorpions, I'm going to have you take a powerful blow.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's a 1 + 2 plus no conditions. So that's a 3.
Heck all yeah. All right.
And mark a potential. All right.
And you can mark a potential. Congratulations. So yeah, you get stung a couple of times and it's something that you kind of feel, but like it's like bee sting or less. Like it kind of seems like maybe they're filled with like a really sour acid candy, but you're fine.
I am so used to sour this. Oh my God. This is
Ryan's been
I'm immune because I eat so much sour candy. I'm immune.
That's how I'm not dead sour candy.
It's Princess Bride. What is it? I'm immune to Iocane powder.
Yeah.
You can change this description if you like, but I think we see a couple of them sting Ryan and she just kind of like shakes them off and they go flying. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, I was going to do something gross, but that sounds fine.
Well, now you got to tell us what the gross thing is.
I was going to lick one.
I will allow it.
Like, maybe it's just, like, accidentally, like, I get a bit in my mouth, and I'm like, hang on a minute, this is actually, it's good.
So, Steve is cocooned. Ryan is not at all bothered by the sugar scorpions. There is still a very large worm that is still hungry.
Steve can do something, or I can do something.
Steve is going to be, see Ryan glancing over the cocoon, and we see, like, a crackle of blue electricity from inside of it. Where Steve has been charging his burn.
All right. Do you want to give us that roll to charge your burn?
Yeah. Okay. So I roll plus conditions marked. On a hit, I roll 3. On a 7 to 9, I mark a condition. On a miss, I hold 2 and mark 3 conditions.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So that's snake eyes plus 2 conditions for 4. Yeah, electricity is really weird here, and his powers are freaking out. He accidentally exploded his friend and doesn't have like a phobia of insects, but definitely doesn't like them. And yeah, he's pretty worried about Lilith and his friends. So he has went from just 2 conditions to all of the conditions marked. But I do have 2 burn.
Congrats.
Thanks.
So you've been charging inside the cocoon.
Painfully, apparently.
Can we do a fastball special?
Yeah.
Can I like launch you with my brambles up through the mouth of the worm or something? And you can like punch
yeah.
through it?
Yeah.
To me, this feels like a 2-parter. So one of them is Ryan throwing Steve and the other is Steve punching. So, Ryan, I'm going to have you unleash your powers, and Steve, I'm going to have you directly engage a threat.
Would you say this is unleashing my powers to barrel through an insurmountable barrier?
You know, this is a real big worm. It does feel, especially at the moment, kind of insurmountable.
Considering our odds.
So I can roll plus danger instead of plus freak, which is very good because my freak is minus two. That's 5 plus a 5 plus a 0, which is a 10.
Heck yeah.
Okay, so you throw Steve with so much force.
Tremendous force.
You, in fact, throw Steve so hard that I'm going to give him plus one on his roll.
Yes!
Yes!
I really want to reward that 10.
Slash oh, boom. 6 plus 3 plus 3 danger minus 2 for being afraid plus 1 is an 11 total.
I'm glad I gave you that plus 1.
Yes! Oh man, it looks so cool. Ryan, I was imagining Ryan like lashes out with bramble tendrils and like swings me around like a almost like a horizontal trebuchet and just like catapults me up at this thing. I get to pick 3. I am going to resist or avoid their blows.
Smart.
I only get to pick 2. And I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Yeah, so I think you like bust right through this worm. Bits of gummy worm go flying all over the place as you kind of burst through it. And you're fine. You're fine. And
obviously.
Yes. The worm is pretty off balance now. Like it seems like it's kind of moving in a way that's like almost a little twitchy. Like it's not seeming like it's doing great. And it is like, it seems pretty disoriented and it's sort of thrashing around, which is still pretty like, it's a big worm. Like the ground is shaking and you definitely don't want it to like hit you while it's thrashing around. But it's not trying to eat you certainly because it has got bigger problems at the moment. And Ryan, Steve has created an opportunity for you.
Is he still in the air? Like, could my opportunity be that I like throw my brambles up and like swing vine catch him and like land on the conference building or something like sick like that?
Yeah.
Yes. That feels kind of flashy. I might have you unleash your powers again.
Yeah, that's fair. Unfortunately, this time I guess I will be rolling plus freak because that doesn't sound like I'm going through an insurmountable barrier. That's a 4 plus a 5, which is 9, minus 2, which is a 7.
It's a hit.
Hooray! Yeah.
Can you kind of describe what you're doing?
Yeah, so I think I like Spider-Man, like shoot some brambles up to like cling to the conference building, not the one we came out of, but like the other one. And then like shoot up along it, like, you know, they shoot out and then they kind of like retract. And so they're pulling me up and I grab Steve out of the air and kind of like throw us both down onto like the broken edge of the sky bridge that like leads into that conference building.
Since you rolled a 7, the effect is unstable or temporary. I think as the worm is thrashing around, so you land on sort of the broken end of this sky bridge, and as the worm is thrashing around, like it is headed right towards you. So you're up, but you're about to get like smacked by a big flailing worm of gummy.
Steve will grab like the backside of the worm and try and just like drag it away from Ryan.
The backside of the worm is like as tall as a story of a building.
Man.
It's such a large worm.
It's such a big worm. I'll let you try shooting it with lightning.
Or you can drag me instead of the worm.
Yeah, like I feel like there are other things you can do. I just actually don't think you can like, you're not going to get your arms around this worm.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Cool. Yeah, I guess I will use my super speed to grab Ryan and pull him to safety.
Okay, give me that roll plus defend.
I love that this is just us saving each other, like back and forth.
Ooh, that is a 3 plus 1 minus 1 for a 3.
Yeah, this just doesn't work, does it?
Ryan is too big.
Yeah, definitely get hit by the worm.
Yeah, so I'm actually, what you see happen is, very weirdly, it suddenly starts to rain, like, very, very hard. This is not something you are doing, but this is something that is happening. And you do see, like, this is a creature made out of gummy, and it's, like, in sugar that's starting to dissolve. So it does kind of retreat, but like as this is happening, you do both get just like absolutely whacked by the tail end of this gummy worm, and you go flying and you land. You are not on the tablecloth anymore, either of you. Literally hits you off the table, and you just, the Electric Kid and Ryan both just like, or Mighty Briar just land in the conference center. You are not like on the main floor. There's kind of, the sky bridge leads to like a sort of lobby balcony area that overlooks the main floor where all of the booths and the vendors are, but you just like land right in the middle of this. You're off the tablecloth. There's no more Sugar World, and you are both in costume at the career fair.
Are we all wet as well from being rained on?
You are a little bit wet. But the good news is you left the worm in the gummy world, or in the Sugar World. You also left Lilith there, but
you know, one problem at a time.
Yeah, one problem at a time. Getting back to the Sugar World, I think, is going to be where we pick up next issue. But if you want to give us kind of a closing panel of like what they look like after they've just landed back in the real world.
We get a panel of like a really close-up shot of Steve's eyes inside his goggles, and really wide, because he's looking up at, he just like landed at the feet of Lauren. And it's just like, oh, hi.
I feel like it zooms out a little bit, and right above Steve's head is Ryan's head, because he's landed like, they're like head to head. Sprawled out. Yeah, she's just like also staring up at Lauren.
Lauren, for her part, looks pretty scared. I mean, these people did just come crashing like right in front of her. But additionally, as you kind of reorient yourself, you notice that the fire alarm is going off and like the sprinkler system has engaged.
Uh-oh.
And Lauren kind of looks at specifically the Electric Kid. I know you're both kind of right there, but she looks right at you and it's like, what's going on? Are we under attack? Yeah, so I think maybe our last panel is we have the Electric Kid and Mighty Briar on the floor of the conference center looking up at Lauren, who is just looking back at them a little bit terrified.
Wonderworld Comics is an Actual Play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brendan Conway. Graviton, Gustav, and Penny Dreadful are played by Sawyer A. Kalea is played by Des Cobbs. Shrike and the Electric Kid are played by Michael Dunham. Moonflower and Shatter are played by Kyra Nelson. And Mighty Briar is played by Kaylee Newberry. The music for this episode is by P. Richmond. This season is produced by Kyra Nelson. You can find us on Twitter and Blue Sky with the handle WWC Comics Podcast.